Welcome back to Atlanta. Great to have you with us. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Ford Kia Hyundai, best in new inventory, great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors Guarantee. Terrific service department that backs it up every step of the way, routine, difficult, great technicians, all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. We are in different hotels, but we're both in Atlanta. And with that, we bring in the outstanding Donnie Collins, Scranton Times Tribune. Hello, Donnie.
Thanks for having me, Steve.
Well, it's another slow time of the year. Not much going on. We're obviously playing the waiting game. You know, we'll see what the next 24 hours bring with Manny Diaz. What's been just, I mean, look, he's going to be a hot commodity. So, I mean, that part was not a surprise. Donnie?
Yes, Steve. Sorry about that.
Oh, that's
man, you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Sorry about that. But it's been such a slow time of year that I fell asleep there for a second. It's with Manny. It's you go into the off season knowing that somebody's going to want him, and it's just a matter of, is the job going to be one that he, number one, wants to be at for a while, or who thinks that that can get him to a level where he wants to be at as a head coach, wherever that may be. And, you know, it's not surprising. As soon as Duke, you know, when Mike Elko goes to Texas A&M, you knew that's an opening that kind of made some sense for him. It's in North Carolina, in the ACC. You know, he's got some connections there for sure. And it made some sense. So that was kind of one that was on the radar. For a couple of days now anyway, where Manny would make some sense. And, you know, it's just a matter of, you know, at this point, does he feel that staying at Penn State is better than being the head coach at Duke? And I don't know what the answer is ultimately going to be, but one way or the other, I mean, life is a big time coordinator. I mean, when you've had success, I mean, everybody wants you, everybody is going to be after you. And I think that's a good thing for Penn State. And I think Penn State thinks that's a good thing for Penn State to have these in-demand coordinators. And it's certainly, if he leaves, it'll set up a very interesting search for his replacement, because it's a little bit different. We kind of know what James Franklin likes to go after on the offensive coordinator front, because he's changed them quite a bit. But really, it's only been Manny outside of Brent Pry for 10 years, it seemed like, as the defensive coordinator, where he's only really made one outside hire since Bob Shoup was the defensive coordinator when he got to Penn State. So if there's going to be some mystery involved if Manny Diaz leaves as to how James Franklin's going to go about replacing him.
As players announce their decisions, and I feel like whenever somebody announces their decision, it's like everybody gets their own day to do it. The staff already knows who's staying and going. But the first one that to say he was going and not going to play in the Peach Bowl was Chop Robinson. What was your thought on that?
That's not another one that if you're a Penn State fan, you're probably watching Chop and hoping he wants to play, but thinking that's not going to happen. But I was thinking this the other day. How good is Chop Robinson historically at Penn State? Because I think, you know, you look at his explosiveness off the edge, and he the way he played was really perfect for the system that Manny runs at Penn State. You know, he's constant pressure on the quarterback. He's able to line up in different spots. The Iowa game was a real clinic with that, with chopping that prowler package, lining up all over the place, over center, doing a really good job there, showing his versatility. But I think Chop's one of those guys who can do anything. He's clearly going to play in the NFL. He's clearly a top one or two round on pretty much every analyst. And not that that really matters, but when you have a consensus like that, it shows you what the what the industry thinks of him. And I think Chop at that point made the decision for himself that I think Penn State understands and Penn State fans should understand, because he had a really good 2-year run, and he's an NFL guy. And it's interesting. I would love to be a fly on the wall in these discussions about who plays the bowl game or who doesn't, who leaves early and who doesn't, because you want to know what realistically goes into it. But there seems to be no, you know, sometimes you do at other programs, especially you see guys who don't really have a realistic shot at going in the first or second round, kind of opting out just to give you, in hopes that they will get that chance. But I think Chop is one of those guys where you look at the body of work, and it was exemplary for two seasons, and now it's time to go.
Then there's Olu Fashanu. Olu, so far CBS, Sports Illustrated, The Athletic have come out with their All-American teams. He's first-team All-American on all of them to this point. Donnie, you go through 2 years. I mean, 2 years. He never gave up a sack. I mean, you watched it just like I did.
Yeah, I don't know if and I'm certainly not an NFL GM or a scouting guy or whatever, and I certainly don't have the number one pick in the draft. I don't work for the Bears, but I don't know how you.
There's going to be a lot of people not. There's going to be a lot of people not working for the Bears in about a month.
Yeah, I'm thankful I'm not working for the Bears, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm getting my affairs in order.
Yeah,
but Olu is. I don't remember a more dominant college football player. I really can't. Where he comes in, and the first time you saw him in that, that really got a good look at him in that Outback Bowl, and yeah, you thought, hey, where has this guy been? Why is this guy not playing for, he's a starter caliber right there. Sometimes it's obvious, and it's been obvious with Olu from the first day. And you go back and you watch some games, and sometimes I just sit and watch Olu on offense. And it's fascinating because his guy, no matter what they threw at him, he stonewalled it. He was very consistent, great in the run game, great in pass protection. And the crazy thing with Olu is, what is he, 21?
Yes.
He's not even, he's just learning how to play. He's got this unreal talent that is translating to dominance at the college level, and certainly he's going to the NFL. I don't think he hasn't made a decision to my knowledge yet, unless it happened in the last half hour. But certainly to my knowledge, he's going to be the top tackle taken, and should be. And I think he should be the top player taken in the draft. Now, whether he plays in the bowl game or not, I don't know. I think he's a little different because he didn't play in the bowl game last year. Not that that matters. I think in this day and age where, I don't think Olu's going to, in 15 years when he's an all-pro and, his career is over, hopefully looking back and saying, I really wish I played in the Rose Bowl or the Peach Bowl. But I don't know that it's not a factor either. So I think it'll be interesting to see. And the one thing, and it as well as I do, players at Penn State seem to play the bowl game at a higher rate, these prospect types, more than they do at other schools.
Yes.
So I think that, however James Franklin and the staff kind of sell them on the benefits of that, he does a great job of it, where they don't even try or aren't as successful in other places. So maybe Olu gives it a shot. I think there's a couple of guys who will maybe consider playing in the game that you would think could consider opting out.
What do you think of this matchup and this game, the way it ended up playing out with the Peach Bowl?
I think it's a somewhat dangerous matchup for Penn State, in the sense that I think Ole Miss is better than the public thinks it is. They have a really good running back. Judkins is a terrific, terrific running back. He didn't have as good a year this year as he did. Last year he had a better statistical season, but he's a good player. Mm-hmm. Jackson Dart is tremendous. I think he's going to be one of the two or three best quarterbacks they'll have seen all year. Might be a little bit of McCarthy. They're a better team than people think, but they're coming in ranked a little lower than Penn State. It's not like you're playing Oklahoma, where it's a blue blood, and you think even if Oklahoma's a little down, you've accomplished something. You've beaten Oklahoma. But I think this is, or certainly Georgia, other schools like that, that it could have played in this if the standings were a little different than they are right now. But, you know, if you look at Ole Miss and what they're all about, I think it's a very good contrast of style. I think it'll be an entertaining game. You know, a really great defense against a really terrific offense. But I think, you know, the general mindset of this from Penn State fans will be Penn State should win this game. And I think they should, but just keep in mind, this is a SEC team coming into a bowl game, and they're going to be pretty close to full strength. I mean, they're not going to lose all that much. Lane Kiffin said as much at the press conference on Sunday, and if you look at it, I mean, they haven't really lost a ton. It's very rare these days where you get a full strength SEC team in a New Year's Six game, but I think Penn State is going to get one, and I think it's going to be a really good challenge because like Penn State outside of Chop will be as close to full strength as you can expect them to be. And so Chop makes a big difference, but that's certainly a deep position too. So I think this is going to be of the New Year's Six games, I think this is the most fun matchup outside of the playoff.
Yeah, no, it there's no question. And it's interesting because that team, Ole Miss, is really built on the transfer portal. 21 of the top 25 guys on defense, 21 of them are transfers. 14 of their top 25 on offense are transfers. So Lane Kiffin has used the portal over and over and over again.
it's really going to be interesting to, in 10 years, I think, go back and look at how different programs use them. Because, you know, I like the way Penn State uses it.
Me too.
They use it at certain positions, and it's, I really think the way to use it, kicker and punter every year, just go get your kicker and punter out of the portal. I think that's really smart. I think that's the way they do it. Get your backup, get your rotational pieces on both lines out of the portal. Penn State's done that. If you're looking for number one receivers out of the portal, sometimes you're going to hit, sometimes you're going to miss. And I think when you look at Ole Miss, and a good example is Michigan State. I mean, the first year out, They hit home runs out of the portal. Kenneth Walker, a lot of different guys like that.
True.
And they were great. They haven't hit out of the portal since. And I think Michigan State, Ole Miss is in one of those spots where they've hit out of the portal. So I think everyone's going to have a different portal mindset as this thing gets more established. But Kiffin is a guy who, he's a weird guy in the sense that he's kind of got this professional mindset about it because his dad was such a big-time assistant coach in the pros. So I think he knows how to build teams in ways that on untraditional ways here that some college coaches won't. So I think Kiffin makes that a dangerous spot. And this is a team, Ole Miss, that, you know, right now they're kind of just a sleeper here, but I think that's when you talk about the 12-team playoff, I think that's another team that benefited by that.
Yeah. Well, they would have been in. They'd be getting ready for Georgia. Penn State be getting ready for Ohio State. How interested are you?
That'd be a fun one.
Yes. Yeah. What? How interested are you to spend a few days listening to Lane Kiffin and to cover him, because that's something none of us have had a chance to do? How interested are you in that part?
Surprisingly, very. You know, a couple of buddies of mine. I actually have a buddy who does radio at Kentucky, and so most of the year he talks. He'll send me a lot of stuff. Hey, did you hear what Kiffin said this time about whatever? And you know, it's once a month I get a Lane Kiffin text. So I'm intrigued to see about him. And that's something I think that, you know, I don't necessarily write about the coaches so often, but I do like to see what they're all about because they're the consistent part of these programs, right? I mean, when you think of Ole Miss, you think of Lane Kiffin first and foremost, and that was the two teams I really wanted to see in a bowl matchup just based on who the head coach was either Missouri with Drinkwitz, because he's kind of a character too.
Yep.
And definitely Ole Miss with Kiffin, because, you know, who knows? I mean, it's not like Penn State's going to play Ole Miss every year, maybe once every 10 years if they run into each other in a tournament. then yeah, you could see that. But I think it'll be really fun to see what he's all about and kind of get to know him a little bit better, because he is fun. I mean, he's not everybody's cup of tea, especially in the SEC, but he is a fun guy for the game, and I kind of think I like characters, so I'm looking forward to Lane a little bit.
In the end, we know how it played out with the four teams in the playoff. The bottom line is they were supposed to start the 12-team playoff this year, but that fraud alliance, that's my word, Donnie, that Warren and Phillips and Kliavkov formed without a signed contract delayed it. So the ACC commissioner is a part of the delay. How do you think in the end, did they make the right four choices?
Yeah, it depends on – I mean, look, it doesn't – this is one of those things I tell everybody this. It doesn't matter what I think, because, I mean, when does it really matter what any one person thinks? But the rules are the rules, and it says nowhere in there in the bylaws of the College Football Playoff Committee do you take the four most deserving teams. Because if so, Penn State would have been in the tournament 7 years ago. I mean, and I think everybody kind of understands that. What you have here is take the four best teams. And there's a very narrow list of things that everybody knows about that they have to consider. And strength of schedule is one of them. And head-to-head matchups is one of them. And conference championships is one of them. And Florida State, on strength of schedule, is 55th. And Alabama was ninth or something like that, and you're not. I'm sorry to say this to Florida State, but I don't know what they expected. Well, right. Do you expect them to leave the SEC out because they beat Louisville by 10 points in the ACC championship game? No, they're not leaving the SEC out. They're not leaving Michigan out, and they're not leaving Washington out. Washington's a very exciting team, so they're just not doing any of that. So it's basically one spot for everybody else. And I put on Twitter on Saturday before the game, they have to be really, really impressive to make this tournament. And I got a lot of blowback on it, but right. They did. They had to be really impressive offensively with a backup quarterback. They had to show that kid can win, and they didn't. And I think it stinks for Florida State. But look at it this way. They knew there was five conferences. They're the Power Five. It says right in the title, Power Five. But there's only four spots. And they do this so they can manipulate it a little bit. It's just the way of the world. I mean, they want to – the ratings do matter. And I'm not saying I think ESPN had anything to do with it. I think they got the four, quote-unquote, best teams. I don't think they got the four most deserving teams, but they got the four best. And that's really what they're charged with. Now, do I wish the SEC got left out? Yes, because I think that would have been a pretty good story to follow, and it would have been funny. But I don't think I could sit here and make a good argument that Florida State with a backup quarterback was going to beat Alabama. And also, at that same note, if Jordan Travis doesn't get hurt, do I think Florida State's going to make the field? Yes, I think Alabama's out at that point. I think that the committee, whether you agree with them or not, is consistently inconsistent in a way where they get the four teams that I think the majority of the people think are the four best, whether that's a painful decision or not. I think it was just happened to be a painful decision this year because Florida State had a legitimate claim, and the SEC champion had one loss. But you know, it was a different kind of year. I mean, very few people talking about this, but Georgia was the number one seed going into the weekend, and they didn't make the tournament. And I don't, not that I think they should have, but that's the first time ever that happened, that right. Somebody went in at number one into the right. into the championship weekend and didn't make the field. So I think a lot of different things happened because it was so close to the top, and there's really not a clear number one team. I think everybody, you ask 100 people and you're going to get maybe 25 people saying each of those four teams could win the tournament. I think it was a little bit just of a different year, and hey, it's the last year of it too, until next year when the number 13 and 14 teams start complaining.
The only part of that answer that hurt was the part that we can give opinions and nobody should care. I mean, geez, Donnie, this entire show's built on that.
Yeah, that's a career with opinions. That, as James says to me, opinions you state as facts. And now I just go and blow the cover on it, I know.
Because I've said that for a long time. It says, you know what, people can disagree with what I think. That's fine. I don't worry about stuff like that. They're just opinions. Hey, Donnie, thank you so much. Really appreciate the time, as always, my friend.
All right, Steve, no problem. We'll see you.
The outstanding Donnie Collins, Scranton Times Tribune. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford Kia Hyundai, best in new inventory, great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors Guarantee, terrific service department, all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.